Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we talked about four miracles that Jesus did in connection with his healing of the paralytic in Mark chapter 2. Here in the end of Mark 4 and Mark 5, Jesus does four more miracles, pretty much all in succession, four in a row. And all these miracles are completely different from each other, different in terms of their setting, different in terms of how Jesus performs them, and different in regards to what Jesus accomplishes. But all four miracles have one thing in common. In each one of these miracles, the situation looked hopeless. But with Jesus, the situation, however bad or dire it might be, is never hopeless. Jesus takes a hopeless situation and turns it into an amazing display of his power. Because when everything is said and done, Jesus is the hope of the hopeless. Let's look at each of these four miracles and see how Jesus gives hope. Number one, Jesus gives hope in times of disaster. So, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Mark 4, 37 and 38. Now, this particular situation is a natural disaster, and that's something we're all familiar with because natural disasters are part of living in the Midwest. Here in the Midwest, we go from blizzard season to dangerously cold season to storm season to flood season to tornado season to dangerously hot season to drought season, and then that cycle kind of repeats itself. Natural disasters are part of the sinful world we live in. And all of us have to deal with them, including these 12 disciples. They are rowing across the Sea of the Galilee, something they've done many, many times before. They know that lake like the back of their hand. Jesus is in the back of the boat, sleeping soundly. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, a furious storm rises up. This is a bad one. Even these seasoned fishermen are panicking. They try, but they cannot overcome the storm. They are helpless and they are hopeless. They wake Jesus up, accusing him of not caring. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Mark 4:39. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Now, they're not wrong to ask Jesus for help. That's always the right thing to do when we're overwhelmed with a situation. But they are dead wrong to question Jesus' compassion about how much he cares. Jesus always cares. He cares about us more than we care about ourselves. And here he does intervene. He does do a miracle. He tells the storm, "Quiet, be still," and immediately the storm stops. Not only is there calm, there's mega calm, great calm, as the Bible says. The disciples go from being scared of the storm now to being scared of Jesus. They ask the question, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They're scared to answer that question, but I think they already know, because there's only one person who can command the wind and the waves, and that is God. And that's who Jesus is. Not a man, not just a good teacher, not a nice guy. Jesus is God, God in the flesh. And that is why Jesus is the hope of the hopeless. Jesus gives hope in the midst of natural disasters. He also gives hope during attacks from the devil. Now, the next situation is when they get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the eastern shore, they're met by a man with many demons inside of him. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Now, the demons force this man to live among the cemeteries to make his dwelling with those who are dead. The people of the area did their best to contain him, but they were powerless against him. They tried to bind him with a chain, but even chains could not hold the evil that was inside this man. They could not do anything. Everything they tried failed. Once again, the situation appears hopeless, but then Jesus comes to their shore and everything changes. The demons see Jesus, and their hatred quickly turns into abject fear. They fall down in front of Jesus, shouting, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" and recognize Jesus for who he truly is. Jesus confronts the demons, asking their name. We are legion, for we are many. A Roman legion consists of 4,000 to 6,000 soldiers, by the way. Jesus casts out the demons into a nearby herd of pigs, and all of the pigs, somewhere around 2,000 of them, run headlong into the sea and drown. Now, people naturally were curious about all this, so they come out to see what has happened, and what they see actually disturbs them. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by this legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. Mark 5, verse 15. See, on this journey, Jesus calmed a raging storm and made them see, you know, made that sea into a picture of perfect peace. Now, he tames a raging storm of demonic activity, casting it out, and the man is filled with that perfect calm and peace that Jesus brought to the sea. That's who Jesus is. He's the Prince of Peace. Everywhere he goes, peace follows him. Like the disciples, instead of rejoicing, the people reacted to Jesus with fear. Please get in your boat, Jesus. Go back to where you came from. But the man who was rescued from that legion of demons didn't forget and never would. He knew exactly what the Lord had done for him, how Jesus rescued him from bondage to the devil, setting him free. Jesus gives hope to a hopeless man, and that man tells everybody about everything Jesus did for him. Jesus gives hope in times of disaster, during attacks from the devil, in times of disease. The third miracle takes place when Jesus returns back to the western side of the Sea of Galilee. He's met by a huge crowd. One of those who comes to him is a man named Jairus, a ruler in the Jewish synagogue. He's the layman in charge of the synagogue building, so he's the chairman of the property committee. So that makes him an important man, and he needs Jesus. He needs Jesus to come and heal the daughter, his daughter, who is gravely ill. Jesus goes with him immediately, but on their way, they are interrupted by a woman who has been hemorrhaging blood for 12 years and also needs Jesus. Mark 5, 25 and 26. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. So for 12 years, this woman has been suffering. She's gone to one doctor after another, one treatment after the other, looking for a cure. None of them work. It's hopeless. So she believes no one can help her. No one, that is, except for Jesus. She thinks if I could just touch his garment, that would be enough to heal me. And she's right. She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Mark chapter 5, 27 to 29. In the midst of that great crowd, she manages to touch Jesus, and immediately she is healed. As the Bible makes clear, the power to heal her didn't come from her faith or from Jesus' robe. It comes from Jesus himself. He is the one who has the power to heal any and every disease. Jesus heals her and then asks, "Who did this? Who touched me?" The disciples look at Jesus with disbelief. "What do you mean, who touched you? Have you seen the crowd? Hundreds of people are touching you. What do you mean?" But this question wasn't for the disciples. This question was for the woman. When Jesus asks a question, he already knows the answer. He asked the questions not for his benefit, but for our benefit. Here, he wants the woman to publicly confess her faith in him and share what God has done for her. And to her credit, that's exactly what she does. She tells Jesus the whole truth and tells the whole story in front of the crowd. And then Jesus can assure her, "Daughter, isn't that beautiful?" He calls her daughter. What a beautiful thing. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." The peace that comes from the Prince of Peace. He calms the storm. He calms the possessed man. And now he calms the woman who has been suffering from the disease for 12 years. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he is the hope of the hopeless, but the best is yet to come. You see, Jesus brings hope even in the face of death. Immediately after that, while Jesus was still speaking, some people come from Jairus' house and tell Jairus, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" You know exactly what they're telling Jairus, don't you? "Don't bother, Jairus. It's hopeless. Sure, Jesus can calm the storms. Sure, Jesus can cast out demons. Sure, Jesus can heal a sick woman. But he can't do this. I mean, no one can defeat death. Don't bother, Jesus. This is too hard. Even for him, it's truly hopeless." Then Jesus does something amazing. This is so good. Jesus, the Bible says, looks directly at Jairus. Maybe he even puts his hands on his shoulder. But he looks directly at Jairus and says, "Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe." What great words for Jairus. What great words for us. Whether we're going through a disaster or being attacked by the devil, or going through a medical issue, or looking into the face of death itself, we need to hear the words of Jesus. These are words for us. Jesus looking us in the eyes, telling us, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And Jairus, by the power of the word of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, does believe. He doesn't give up. He doesn't know what's going to happen. But he trusts Jesus, and he brings Jesus to his house. And there at Jairus' house, there is weeping, there is wailing, and there is his daughter, dead. Just as the people said, Jesus says, "She's not dead. She's only asleep." People laugh, but Jesus is not distracted. Mark 5:41-42. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. Jesus, with two words, "Talitha kum," sends death fleeing from his presence. Even death is scared of Jesus. Death cannot stand up to him. Jesus Christ is the victor even over death itself. Dear friends, the storms of life will continue to come. They will continue to rage, but don't be afraid. Jesus is more powerful than the storms. Dear friends, the devil and his army of demons will continue to attack you and everyone you love, but don't be afraid, because Jesus is more powerful than a legion of demons. And dear friends, disease will come. We will all suffer disease. We will all suffer sickness. But take heart, Jesus is more powerful than any disease. And dear friends, one day death will come. Death will come for each and every one of us. But dear friends, don't be afraid, because Jesus is more powerful than death. Jesus has won the victory over death once and for all. And Jesus has won the victory for you. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.